Advent is a season of preparation, and I thought this year the theme would be hope for the season of Advent. I think it is an important theme for the season. And throughout this time of Advent, what I'm going to do is be sharing stories and scripture of different people, characters in the Nativity story, and focus on them for our theme of hope, and share some of what I have found in these scriptures when it comes to thinking about hope for this season. So we hear today from Luke, the story from Luke in chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, this story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that is the cousin of Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel into the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name? Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." It's a lovely greeting. But it says, Mary was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. You know, when somebody comes and say hello, and you know they're going to give you something that you don't want to hear. "Mary, you have nothing to fear," the angel said. "God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus." Surprise! "He will be great. He will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom." Mary said to the angel, "But how? I've never slept with a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's servant, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." Then the angel left her. May we ponder this coming week these words from our Holy Scripture. So, what kind of preparations are you making this year? For the birth of Christ? For Christmas? Or beyond that into the next year? Whatever you're planning, I'm sure that what you are planning is somewhat, if not significantly, different than most years. Today, as we mark the beginning of Advent, we acknowledge Advent as a time of preparation and waiting. And that's exactly what we're doing this year. We're preparing differently, and we're waiting. It would be probably an understatement to suggest that this year is going to be anything like other years. As COVID numbers rise in Alberta and Canada and the rest of the world, as restrictions limit people coming into our homes, and people are unable to travel, we are not anticipating what we might have just a year ago, which seems like forever now. Everything has changed. We need hope. Not, you know, a naive, simplistic hope, but a hope that challenges us to find glimmers of light and possibility that buoy us up through challenging times. This is the only true kind of hope. throughout the season of Advent, as I said, I want to explore the Christmas stories and the people in them through the lens of hope and what they can share with us today. Hope, I believe, is a significant aspect of the Nativity story and of the coming of Christ. If we cannot find hope, we will not have a future. So each week I'm going to explore the various characters in the Nativity story as we move toward Christmas, seeking hope in each story. So today, as you have heard, as I read the story, I want to highlight Mary and her response to the Annunciation, which is just a fancy word of saying the angel came and told her that she was going to be pregnant and carry a child who would become the one we call Jesus, our Savior. You know, Scripture condenses everything so tightly that the Nativity story is found in Luke in just a couple of chapters. And yet we have to imagine that this Annunciation, this angel coming to Mary, happened 9 months before the birth of the child. We often don't think of that. At Christmas we read this quick little story and don't think, gee, it takes place over a pretty lengthy period of time. We don't know much really about Mary. There are legends and stories about her, but not much is known about her life. Our story tells us that she lived in Nazareth and was engaged to Joseph. She was probably a young woman in her mid-teens. She was not literate. She would live with her parents until she was married, and then she would move into her husband's home with his parents. As far as we know, she was an ordinary Jewish girl in a small village doing whatever young women did in her day, nothing extraordinary. Why she was chosen to bear the Christ child, we don't know. So as the story goes, on one particular day, more than 2,000 years ago, an angel, a messenger from God, visits Mary somewhere in Nazareth. The angel greets her, and Mary is startled, shaken, even frightened. Did you ever notice that angels always scare people when they show up? The angel announces that Mary is the favored one of God who has been chosen to bear the Messiah. Now, in the story, it makes it sound like it's a good thing. Wouldn't that be an incredible burden? To say that you are going to bear this child who is going to save people. It comes as a complete shock to Mary, and we can almost feel her consternation as she struggles with this announcement. How can this be? I don't understand. It's not even possible that this would happen. And the angel basically responds with this, as angels might do, "Never you mind. This is God's work, and you can't limit God's ability." So as the angel carries on speaking to Mary, Mary's mind, you can imagine, is spinning. How do you respond to something that will totally change your life? It will alter your future, cause great stress in not only your life, but the lives of the ones you love. How do you deal with something for which you are totally unprepared? And that may not be totally welcome. How do we deal with those kinds of things that come into our lives for which we are unprepared? When something enters our lives that we were not expecting and that throws us for a loop, challenges our sense of security and safety and certainty with something totally unexpected in our lives. What is our response? How do we deal with things we cannot wrap our heads around? Ian. Thank you. Perhaps we need to deal with it like Mary. After listening and questioning and pondering, Mary says this to the angel. Yes, I see it all now. I am God's child and ready to serve. Let it be as you have said to me. Let it be. I don't know about you, but this week I've been pondering that a lot. And it has indeed inspired me, made me hopeful. Another way we kind of say that these days, that let it be, is it is what it is. It is what it is. Essentially, Mary says this: I will accept what I cannot change and be my best in the midst of whatever will be. I will accept what I cannot change, and I will deal with it as best I can. Let it be. I love this response. It's not denial. It's not anger. It's not fear or despair or an anxiety. It is an acceptance of what is and a willingness to do what needs to be done. It is simply, let it be. I will accept it, and I will trust God. I think this is hope for us. People who, even in the most troubling times, will see things for what they are and do their best in the midst of surprising, challenging times. I have been blessed to see and hear people express this many times over these last months, who just said, well, that's the way it is. We're going to do our best in these circumstances. Small business owners who had a lot to lose, healthcare workers, grocery store cashiers, parents whose children have had to stay home, seniors who learn how to Zoom, youth who make every effort to protect their grandparents. I've heard all of their stories. There are so many people in our communities who are accepting what is and making the best of it. Not complaining, not grumbling, not cracking under the pressure, or maybe they do once in a while, and they get back up and keep going. Let's face it, we're all just a little stressed these days, whether or not we show it. I had a little meltdown on Friday, and then you pick yourself up and you carry on. The immense capacity for acceptance, adaptability, and change in human beings gives me hope. It makes me hopeful that we will come through to the other side, stronger and more resilient. These are the people who make the proverbial lemonade out of lemons. I'm blessed each day to chat with and work with these people. And they are, in fact, the majority of people, which gives me a sense of optimism and hope. Just looking over at Arlene, who rebuilt her, she got out with her saws and everything else and started rebuilding all around her house and her place and her decks and everything else. I've seen people who have picked up and moved quickly to do something else in the midst of all of this. Of course, the opposite is true. Can't deny that. People who won't let it be, who rail and deny and focus on the negative and whether their rights are being taken away. I have encountered those who want to fight against what is tooth and nail during this time. They buy into conspiracies, refuse any evidence that doesn't support what they believe, and make life miserable for others with belligerent, even hostile or violent behavior. Regardless of what they believe, and they have the right to believe it, they do not have the right to harm others or to put them at risk. Nobody asked for this. Nobody should have to deal with somebody else's anger or belligerence. I just had a Zoom meeting with DeWinton, and people are tired. And they don't understand why people would march in the streets of Calgary or anywhere else. Or people would spit on somebody else who asked them to wear a mask. Or get angry and swear and curse at them. I confess I don't understand it either. I'm trying to understand. Everybody has a right to believe what they believe. But they have a responsibility to society to care for each other. This kind of resistance and the refusal to accept what is takes so much energy. I can't imagine the energy that is going on in people's lives when they're so angry and so resistant. Can you imagine what that energy would do if it was turned into something positive? So much energy is being poured into protesting things that aren't going to change, at least for the time being. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about situations that need to be addressed and can be addressed. There are some things that we can and must do something about. There's great wisdom, though, in knowing what to accept and when to do something about a situation we know is unjust. We seem to be lacking in some good wisdom these days and good judgment. What I'm speaking about today are conditions and situations that are not in our control, that require acceptance before we can derive any hope and possibility in the midst of them. Mary's situation is one of these situations. She could have resisted, she could have gotten angry, lashed out at God, withdrawn, harmed others or herself, but it would not have changed the situation. So she chose the hopeful, faithful way. Let it be. Let it be. How will we respond to what is going on in the world today and in our own lives? How will we make the best of a difficult situation? How will we go into this season of Advent with hope and anticipation, even though we are dealing with something far different than we were even a year ago? I hope we'll do it like Mary did it. Let it be. If we just say, let it be, you just kind of go, let's do that. Let it be. Let it be. What this did is it allowed Mary to rest in God's love, to seek comfort and strength in God. Life is rarely what we want it to be. It is what it is. How do we accept it and best serve God in the midst of it? Maybe we can learn to let it be. Amen.